Okay, so we're coming to the second part of this conversation and actually discussing a real world application or example that where we address some of the issues linked to health data poverty. I think in particular, this one is really linked to the recommendation that we had when we've just talked to Zhao around building inclusive and representative data sets and how that might enable supporting equitable discovery and innovation in digital healthcare. So I think on that, I'm really, really grateful to have Professor Alexandra Filio with us to actually discuss a little bit about the context where you are in Brazil. And we'll go into how this relates, but maybe to start with, Alex, please tell us about a bit about yourself, your work, and where you're based, and then we'll go from there. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. It's a great opportunity to talk a little bit about this important issue of data diversity in machine learning for healthcare. So I'm actually a professor, associate professor of machine learning in healthcare here at the University of São Paulo in Brazil, where we have our machine learning lab since 2017. We work mostly with structured data here, and our main goal is to see that when those algorithms start coming to Brazil, we're going to have them with high quality, high diversity, and high fairness, so it can improve the lives of the people that the algorithms are going to have the biggest impact, which is in remote areas of the world. Here in Brazil, the more disadvantaged areas of Brazil, it's not an easy challenge to get those algorithms to work on those areas because we have many issues that we're probably going to talk about here. So it's the main goal of our lab to make sure that when machine learning transforms healthcare, it's going to be particularly useful for the people that it's going to have the most impact.
Amazing. So that's exactly the, as you've highlighted, I think that's some particular areas around your work where we can talk about how the challenges that you've managed to overcome and the ways that you've benefited and impacted those particular communities. And I think that's really the stuff that's going to be great to get into. Maybe before we get into that, it would be good to get your perspective, particularly from your lab and maybe personally from your experience, your perspective on health data poverty, particularly around the biggest challenges that you're seeing in Brazil. So you kind of alluded to them when you were doing your intro.
So we actually have decent health data quality. We collect pretty much universal data collection on every single birth here in Brazil, every single death, hospitalizations, and so on, which is remarkable for a country that is middle income, such as Brazil. It's huge, right? It has very remote areas, has a huge rainforest in the middle of it. So even though those challenges, we're able to collect high quality health data. The issue here is that we do not have data integration. Right. So we do not know that this person that was born here is the same person that was hospitalized here, and it's the same person that died here. So our health information systems are independent of each other. OK, so which is the biggest challenge for machine learning? Right. Because in machine learning, we would want to have a follow up of the patients. Right. So we can predict. Right, so we can predict who is going to get sick, who is going to die, who is going to need an important intervention, and so on. So it's quite hard. We have been able to do some research by collecting our own data, by collaborating with the healthcare system, so we can have integrated data and so on. But it's not that easy. And I would say that the main challenge right now is that most of the studies that we have in Brazil, as is the same challenge around the world, is usually done in high-income areas, right? It's usually done here in São Paulo or in Rio or, you know, the other large cities of Brazil, which leave out the remote areas. So we have been trying to reach out to those areas to try to get data from those areas and see how the machine learning algorithms perform differently in comparison to São Paulo.
Yeah, and I guess that's a big link to, I guess, a big part of the audience of, like, you know, what's the global relevance of this and how does that relate it to some of the challenges that I guess are more in fashion at the moment within the EU, within the US, you know, where these contexts are starting to speak much more about the inequities that are faced And at least what I'm hearing is that, you know, particularly within Brazil, you have been having to deal with much of this for a much longer time. And these challenges are almost even much bigger or multiplied within your context. So that really resonates a lot. And I think another thing that's kind of comes out in terms of a challenge and the way to kind of overcome this is actually proactively going out to those communities and working with them to see how you can bridge that. So that piece around awareness and actually going out there and doing something about it rather than kind of having a question mark. Yes, society in general should do something about this, but it's always pointing at someone else, expecting someone else to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I usually say, and I really believe this, that Brazil has the richest health data in the world, right? And why is that? It's because of our diversity. Okay, so most developed countries of the world are now becoming diverse in terms of genetics, right, and background, and in terms of economic disparities, right? Brazil has had that for decades and decades, centuries. Okay, so we are a very racially diverse country for centuries, and we are a very economically unequal country for centuries. So I usually say that the world is becoming more like Brazil. Okay, so and the difference that the richest part of the world now is starting to have diverse data, but we have a long history in Brazil of diverse data. And for machine learning is going to be critical, okay? Because machine learning is learning rules from data, which can significantly be different depending on the background of the person, the health research that you have, the economic background of the patients, and so on. So that diversity is crucial for machine learning algorithms. And in richest country of the world, you don't have that many diversity. So it means that the algorithm is going to miss some details there. Okay. But here in Brazil, we have the whole world inside of Brazil, right? In every single sense. So here in Brazil, our algorithms are really able to learn about the rules that make human beings have diseases and other issues. So we do have a very rich data, and we're trying to see how that helps to improve the algorithms. So what we have been doing a lot is that we train those algorithms in São Paulo, which would be like training in a rich city around the world. And then we try to move those algorithms to the other regions of Brazil. Okay, so an algorithm that works well in a developed city, in a large city, in an urban area, okay, it's making good decisions, it has good predictive performance, it's working well, and so on. Let's see if it works equally well when we move around through different regions and settings. And we have been seeing that it doesn't work so well. Okay, so this is a huge red flag in the future for even for the developed regions of the world, right? If you want to scale your algorithms throughout the world, it's probably not going to work so well, okay? Because it doesn't work inside of Brazil, right? So it's the same system, the same currency, but the patients are diverse and the resources are diverse. Okay, so even in this setting, when you increase diversity, the algorithms usually do not transfer so well. So we have a lot of teachings to give to the world. I think the first thing would be that diversity improves the quality of the algorithm. The second one is that if you train the algorithm in a rich area, it's probably not going to work on more disadvantaged areas and so on. So, I mean, we have been finding a lot of things in Brazil, but I do think that we have also things to teach the world as we move forward with artificial intelligence in healthcare.
That's a really, really nice overview. And just to summarize, I think, you know, a couple of the key points there, you know, the foundational point that, you know, diversity by design will improve algorithms. And I think the other is really having at the beginning of your process, the proactive requirement to make sure that, hey, you're not just training this in a data rich and I guess socioeconomically rich environment. And so what are you doing? What effort are you making? What push are you doing so that this is going to be relevant to communities with both data and socioeconomically poorer? So absolutely, I think there's a couple of key takeaway messages. I wanted to zoom in maybe on maybe a couple of things, particularly around, you know, building inclusive and representative data sets, and particularly some of the work you've done and at least one of the papers, and maybe another if we have time. One is around the use that you've done and the study you've done, and I'll share this with the audience, but your team has done a study on predicting neonatal mortality, leveraging routinely collected data in Sao Paulo. Please tell us more about that, because I think that's another example of like really making sure that the data set is powerful enough and relevant enough, and because it's routinely collected, potentially generalizable. So let's hear a bit more about that.
Exactly. I think we have three main challenges in to get those algorithms to work in remote areas, right? As I said in the beginning, remote areas are the ones that the algorithms are going to have the biggest impact. Okay, it's going to have impact on urban and developed areas too, right? But the difference in quality in terms of clinical decisions is not going to be so great, right? Because you already have good physicians in urban areas and so on. The decisions of these physicians are going to improve, but it's not going to improve so much as in those remote areas, right? Where usually, especially here in Brazil, we have a few cities or a few hundred cities where we only have one physician for the whole city, okay? So the physician doesn't have anyone to send the patients, right? Any specialist to send the patients. So the physician has to be a pneumologist, a cardiologist, and so on. So the decision of this physician is going to improve dramatically with the algorithm. Okay. So our main goal is to get those algorithms to those regions. And I think we have three main challenges for achieving this. The first one is that we need to use data that is actually collected on those regions, right? And here comes the routinely collected data. Okay. So if an X-ray improves the decision for the diseases, okay, but it's not feasible to get the X-ray to the remote area. So it doesn't really matter. Data improves the decisions and so on. So we need to actually use the variables that are actually collected on those regions. So first challenge is that, are we able with those variables, with those information that is already collected, to train machine learning algorithms that actually make good decisions, right? That actually improve clinical decisions. The second one is, the algorithms that we train elsewhere, do they work on those remote areas, right? Because in large areas, you usually have more data, right? So you're probably going to use more data from urban areas to train those algorithms. And then the algorithm is going to work pretty well on the urban area, but it's probably not going to work well on the remote areas. And the third challenge is, how do we get those algorithms to the physicians in the remote areas, right? Where they usually do not have an electronic medical record, okay? Paper records are still very common in the developing world.
So surprisingly, in some contexts in the West, that's also true, particularly with like exchange of information being fax machines still. So there's some similarities there that I can relate to. But yeah, carry on, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not that different, but I would guess it's a little bit more common in the Brazilian countryside. So we have been tackling those three specific challenges to get those algorithms to work in remote areas. So the first one is this, using routinely collected data. So this study we published in 2021, where we used data that is collected for every single live birth here in Brazil, which is information such as cooling of the mother, weight of the baby, gestational age of the mother, and so on, to see if we can predict which baby is going to probably die in the first month of life, right? What we call neonatal mortality. And we found that even using the information that every single birth collects in Brazil, we still got a pretty good predictive performance from the algorithms here for Sao Paulo. And now we have a study that we have been moving around Brazil, the same algorithm, to see if it works well and see what is the best strategy to make it work in remote areas. Because one strategy would be to just use data from Sao Paulo. The other strategy would be to just use the data from the remote areas Another one would be to use data from everywhere and so on. So we have been trying to find out what is the best combination for training those algorithms in order for them to work in remote areas. We have a few studies that should come out this year about this. And then we also move internationally. Okay, so we have a cohort of 7 countries, low and middle income countries around the world. And we're trying to see if we can find the same results in different countries. And it's another paper that should come out soon where we try this. Let's see if in order to make good decisions for neonatal mortality in India, is it better to just use data from India? Or does it improve if we bring different patients, even though a different kind of patients that you have in India, maybe the algorithm learns something about human beings in general by having this diversity in data. So we're trying to do that, to use only the data that is collected everywhere. And the WHO has 5 minimal indicators that the organization suggests that every single country collects on every single live bird. So we're using that because we want to make sure that every single country is collecting those. And then to try to find out that, you know, what is the best strategy? And then we have also been moving to a machine learning technique called transfer learning, which is the 4th option, right? Instead of fixing on the training data, train the algorithm where we have more data and just fine tune it for the remote areas, okay? So the algorithm will learn about neonatal mortality in general, overall information about death, about life, and so on, where it has a lot of data. And then we leave the fine-tuning for the specific areas. And how much fine-tuning do we need? Is it going to be a fine-tuning for the hospital itself, which is an option? We have some studies on this that we have been finding out that it's better to train the algorithm with data from the same hospital, even if you have less data. So are we going to fine-tune for the hospital? Are we going to fine-tune for the city? Are we going to fine-tune for the region? Or maybe we do not need to fine-tune at all. So we do have a lot of scientific challenge ahead of us, which is very exciting. And we have some pretty cool results coming out. And it all started with this. Let's see if with routinely collected data, we're able to, even though the data is not perfect, it's not everything we wanted, right? We would like to use some image data and so on, but it's not the reality, it's not the information that we have. With the information that we already have, are we able to train interesting machine learning algorithms?
Such a great example. And it's great that you summarize the kind of like the main challenges and the things that you've been doing to overcome them. I wanted to go into a couple of those points actually, because they're super interesting. However, just to start with, one thing to flag, which is like, I guess, like a universal type of benefit to this kind of approach, is I think another issue around the ethics of data that comes up a lot is, do the communities, particularly relatively underserved communities, who might be then, okay, fine, you've got over the bridge of giving them awareness and communicated to them about trust, about how their data is going to be used, and they finally engage and say, yeah, I'd be happy to give my data to train an algorithm, but they never then see the benefits of that. So this, for me, is a great example of how actually the communities who are often underserved can actually directly benefit from having their data being used to train ML models. So such a great example and kind of shining light on and story to show that this is possible and that this can happen.
And we have been talking with the local government here in São Paulo, and they are very interested into adding those algorithms to their own digital system. So that when the hospital inserts the information about the newborn, it would show up an alert, right? If it's a high risk baby, right, it will show straight away within the system, within the local government system, an alert saying that, okay, this baby, according to the history of babies here in São Paulo and according to the algorithms, has, for example, a 92% probability of dying in the first month. So probably do not send this baby home. Keep it under observation.
It helps make good decisions, right? It helps make good decisions that might then help and actually have a positive impact and reduce the chances of mortality or even morbidity, right? By identifying those people. So a great piece of impact, right? And I think you then kind of went on to a great kind of balancing tension piece, right? One question that often gets asked in this is, Well, it's great to have really, really local and contextual things that are locally relevant, but we need things to scale, and we need things to be generalizable in the sense that, does it make sense to have like hyper-localized ML algorithms or hyper-localized data, but then therefore the impact of that is very small, or the blast radius of impact, positive impact is small. But actually, if we're thinking about the needs and the issues that we face in healthcare, we need to be thinking about much bigger about the impact that we want to have. So for me, this was a great segue into the work that you're doing to connect to other regions within and other cities and other contexts, both within Brazil, but then connecting it to how does this fare then? Are there similar predictive dynamics within other contexts as well? And to me, that raises a really interesting question, like philosophically or societally, of like, you know, these are like to do with often also societal as well as digital determinants of health. How much of it is universal and affects all of us? How much of this is actually to do with the local area, and how granular do you want to get with locality and like your unique context? So like, again, it's, to me, it's the population health versus like individual health, precision health kind of considerations. And so the challenges you're facing with the strategy of to make this right, I think has lots of parallels with the challenges that health systems in general face with, do we think about things at a population health level? How do we balance that with thinking about things at like an individual level as well? So to me, this is super, super interesting. And yeah, I don't know if you have any comments on that.
I would separate this into scientific knowledge and actually practical applications. So for the scientific knowledge, it's very interesting what you mentioned in terms of do the dynamics change of the rules that lead to neonatal mortality. For example, maybe in some countries, the birth weight is more important because you don't have preventive measures for follow birth weight. For other countries, another characteristic is more important. So the algorithms will learn that. We'll learn that the rules are different, and it will be very interesting to understand why the rules are different, right? What makes the dynamics change from one country to the other? I would put this as a scientific challenge. In terms of actual practical application challenges, I would say that we need to make sure that the predictive performance is the best possible for the single local area, right? So we'll be as specific as we need to, right? Because it's lives that we're talking about. So we're trying to see exactly that. How specific do we need to be? Because we're going to automatize this. So it's not going to be a huge difficulty. You know, we're still going to scale. It's going to be scalable, but within the scale, there will be fine tuning and so on. So we're able to insert this within the algorithm, within the system. So it will be scalable, but it will be also precise, right? It will be also specific for each country because we're able to just put it within our code. As the algorithm moves around by itself, it will learn how to be specific for each place. So I would make this two difference. And I think both of them are very interesting. And it's something that we do work a lot. We want to make scientific discoveries, but in the end, we want to get those algorithms to work as good as possible.
Right, and have an impact on people. So yeah, absolutely. And just on this point on fine tuning, you mentioned a little bit about transfer learning. Could you just very quickly explain what that is and how that helps with fine tuning or making something more specific and precise? Because at least my understanding is you've got something that's been trained in another context. You're trying to, for example, in Brazil, apply that to a rural context. What are you doing to the algorithm, or what's happening at a technical level, given that we have a quite mixed technical ability in the audience maybe to capture this? If you can give a good summary of like what transfer learning is and what impact it can have to make things more specific.
So transfer learning is still a very new technique, especially for structured data. Right? Tabular data, structured data, which is the most common type of data that is collected here in Brazil and around the world. But the main idea, so not to get too technical, but if you think about a neural network with a lot of layers of neurons and so on, you would train the algorithm where you have a lot of data, for example, in São Paulo, and then you train it. And then you just leave, for example, the last two layers of the network open to be fine-tuned in the remote areas, right? So for example, if you have like 10 layers, so the first 8 layers are going to be from São Paulo, So it learns the basic, and the literature shows that the first few layers know basic, end up learning basic stuff and so on. So it learns the basic about the health issue, and then you leave the last two layers open for training the specific areas. Okay, so 8 layers come from Sao Paulo, which is where you have more data, you have more quality data and so on, and then you leave a little bit of the algorithm to be specific for the specific region, okay? So this is an example. We have been doing this for random forest, for gradient boosting, for other most common algorithms for structured data. So it's basically this. So the algorithm will learn the basics of the issue where you have a lot of data, but then the details of this decision will be trained on the specific area that you want for this algorithm to work.
Interesting. And what kind of results have you seen? I know you said that it's to be published still. Are you able to share anything as a sneak peek?
Yeah, it's still a very new area, right? But we have been finding some gains. It's not huge, of course. You know, we're already using state-of-the-art algorithms. But I mean, if we get 5% better results when you're already using state-of-the-art everything, right? And you get 5% more on benchmarks, it's usually huge. So we have been getting something like that in terms of locally trained algorithms. And the algorithms get to be more robust and less prone to overfitting because it was trained with a lot of data, right? The basics of the algorithm was trained with a lot of data.
So it's not overfitting to the local
exactly.
context.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. And I can see that in the kind of scaled model as well, where you have then, you know, you have the more universally, you know, the 5 data points of WHO that are universally collected around the world. And then you're kind of adding a few layers that are more important contextually. That seems quite exciting and kind of helps maybe to bridge that balance that we were talking about earlier. So very, 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 very exciting to see that. We've spent so much time and covered a lot. If I were to summarize, I think the biggest thing I see in terms of action here is, you know, the proactive effort and the proactive work to make sure that you're reaching out to communities where data poverty is a thing. I think that's one big learning. Another one is around leveraging data you have, right? Using routinely collected data and then making that able to be applied in different contexts whilst also keeping the original context and impact for the community that you initially intended it for, but then being able to use the important parts for different contexts as well. So that's where the techniques that you've described, like transfer learning, come in. And then I think the other part is like, how do you make the scale and globally relevant? And then that really sums up the benchmarking work you've done. I will share that as well in the whatever material goes out as part of this. But that's to do with the ITU WHO benchmarking and working with the 7 other LMI lower middle income countries who have collect similar data points and seeing how that behaves there. So really, really super interesting. Do you have any other learnings or things to share with your colleagues who are based in the EU, the US, the UK, who, you know, I guess don't get to see these kinds of stories that much in their context? What else would you share with them as maybe your call to action for them?
Yeah, so we work mostly with technical issues, right? And a huge technical issue for applying machine learning in healthcare is going to be fairness, right? To make sure that those algorithms work even within the same city, right? To make sure that those algorithms are not working better for white residents, for example, or for richer residents and so on. So how do we identify this and how do we correct the algorithm to make sure that it doesn't do that? So I have 2 PhD students working on that with data here from Brazil, which is, of course, a very diverse country, where we have been applying machine learning to different areas, to different cities of Brazil, developing different techniques to identify that, okay, we have an issue here, and then how do we make sure that the algorithm is not making those wrong decisions again? And why is that? Because we usually have more data, even within the same city, in a remote area, even within the city, you have inequality. Right?
Yeah,
you,
exactly.
you have income inequalities, racial diversity, and so on. So even within the remote areas, we're trying to make sure that they work well. And I think that we have a bunch of other technical challenges, such as online learning, right? To make sure that those algorithms are learning as they make decisions, as they help with decisions, it feeds back to them and they keep learning. How do we get data privacy to be respected, right? We have been working on federated learning a lot to make sure that we do not transfer patient data. We only transfer the algorithms. So yeah, it's a very exciting field.
Yeah. And looking forward to kind of also reading more and following your work. How can other people follow the work that you're doing and maybe also keep track of the transfer learning paper and other papers that are coming out from your unit?
So my social media is mostly in Portuguese, but our scientific articles are in English. So, I mean, if you want to follow, we have been publishing a few on this, on machine learning in healthcare, and we have a bunch coming out. So, yeah, just on Google Scholar, I'm on it. If you want to follow my page.
Perfect. I can put a link in as well into any material that's going out. Alexander Filho, thank you so much for talking to us. And I think the big takeaway for me is also the world's becoming more like Brazil. And I think you just had the carnival last week as well. So I also hope that the world becomes more like Brazil and as well.
Yeah, your first suggestion was that we did this podcast last week. I'm like, oh no, can't do it.
Definitely can't miss that.
It's our most beloved holiday here in Brazil.
Absolutely. No, so, I wouldn't dream of taking you away.
Because another week. But we made it.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences, your challenges, and how you've overcome them. And I think this will be really, really useful for a lot of people. And thanks for showcasing your work and talking about your impact. So thank you very much. And hope to be able to speak to you again about maybe the further work that you've done as well.
It was great talking to you, and thank you for having me.